Hello and welcome to our show, Kabbalah in Africa. Today we have the privilege of talking to the Kabbalist, Dr. Michael Lightman. So, there's no need to introduce you. Everyone knows you from our Facebook page. Today we have 120,000 followers that get your different posts and tweets daily. We also have a group on Facebook with 900 people that are actively participating, asking questions. And in addition, there's also a group on WhatsApp that twice a week get the transcription of our lessons. And also we have a WhatsApp group with 38 people that are very active, and this is the core that gets lessons twice a week, and now they're starting to follow the morning lessons. And in parallel, we're also writing a book that will try to explain the method of the wisdom of Kabbalah in simple words, and of course, you'll read the book. And so, let's start with our first question. We have many questions. The first question is, why didn't Kabbalah come to Africa earlier? First of all, for me, it's a wonder that it already reached Africa, because suppose it hasn't reached Asia that much. Australia, Oceania, it's not reaching those places that much, and it is reaching Africa, meaning from Africa, we're getting very strong responses, very interesting ones. In Africa, we have people that truly want to understand the method, study it, whereas you have billions of other people all over the world that don't really take an interest in it. So I'd say that in this respect, Africa didn't only start receiving it now. Where were they up till now? But they're actually among the more advanced parts of the world that hear about the wisdom of Kabbalah. I don't think that, for example, the wisdom of Kabbalah is well known to the Europeans for the past 2,000 years. And it was brought to them through philosophy and in different other ways, and they're not really taking an interest in it. Also the same regarding Italy, Spain, Latin America. Yes, but not that much. I'm not hearing so strong responses from there like I do from Africa. The way I see it, in this respect, Africa is pretty advanced. Do we have some kind of plan for disseminating the wisdom of Kabbalah in Africa? This plan can't come before we organize a board, a group that will be in touch with all of our friends in Africa, in English and in French, and maybe also in Portuguese, because Angola and that area. And for this, we need lots of forces. We also need to somehow to connect to our friends, with our friends in Africa, for them to help us develop this. the dissemination can't be just one way. There has to be some kind of response. The feedback is necessary. So let's hope that we'll do it. But it depends more on the measure to which our users in Africa will be interested in it, to continue publicizing the wisdom of Kabbalah in Africa themselves. We see that there's lots of confusion. There were people before us in Africa, Berg, for example, and they're there already for 5 years, and we just came. The question is, how? It's not something that stands in our way, because those that can adhere to Berg and to different such methods, they'll stay there in the meantime. And our method, maybe it's not for the masses, but it's for unique people, for the unique individuals, those that are truly drawn to truth, that are searching for the truth, and not different kinds of mysticism and through religions and games, amulets, holy waters, red strings, and so on. So I don't think that there is any kind of competition between us and Berg, that he's called Kabbalah and we're called Kabbalah. Gradually, people are starting to differentiate what's the difference. And I think that time does its work, because people, they develop, and they'll understand that the truth is unrelated to different objects, amulets, some special kind of water or something else. They'll simply rise above all of this, and then they'll come. And we can't sell them spirituality dressed in this kind of corporeality. At the moment, there is a very strong developing force in Africa called Africanism. People want to go back to their roots. They're looking for their roots. They understand that what they were previously told, what the Europeans brought, it's not for them. They have a kind of spirituality they call African spirituality. And there is a force that's born anew that includes intellectuals and people from all walks of life. People are drawn to it. And someone said, oh, I can't study the wisdom of Kabbalah because we had this wisdom before Abraham. And many times, they're really against it. Now, the question is, what I'm trying to emphasize is that they think that they already tried out this method in the past. How is it possible to talk to these people because they really don't want to listen? I wouldn't talk to them. I wouldn't. When we disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah, we only introduce our method, our explanation, and whoever wants can read. If you're in favor, you are. If you're against, you're against. But we don't go beyond that. We're not trying to push it to anyone or convince anyone in any way. To the contrary, you don't wanna? Great. We respect this. You can accept it or not. It's up to you. It means that people still have to develop and continue. Maybe in 50 years or in 100 years, they'll feel just like they felt that the European culture has already exhausted itself, they will feel that there's also nothing in their so-called natural methods, that there's nothing real or alive about them. And this is how they'll reach the wisdom of Kabbalah. This is what we think. But there's no coercion in spirituality. You can't force anyone to take interest in spirituality. And a person who doesn't want to, we don't touch him. He has to ripen on the inside, develop from the inside. How? There's a student that asked me a question. And in Benin, in his country, there's lots of voodoo that has to do with African spirituality. He's asking whether someone who does voodoo can study the wisdom of Kabbalah. These things are unrelated. He can also study the wisdom of Kabbalah. Before the wisdom of Kabbalah, you don't have to abstain yourself from everything. He can study the wisdom of Kabbalah and also do his voodoo. And gradually, these things will clear up in him. There's no prohibition or no conditions, preconditions to study the wisdom of Kabbalah. If it interests you, you're welcome. I have to ask this question. Did Africans ever study the wisdom of Kabbalah? No. The wisdom of Kabbalah never came to Africa. According to what I learned from all the Kabbalistic sources, it came from ancient Babylon. This was the source. This was the origin of mankind and the origin of the wisdom of Kabbalah. And from there, it spread to the rest of the world. According to science, humans developed in Africa. But after they dispersed in their development to different places in the world, then the place where the wisdom of Kabbalah was revealed first was among the Babylonians. In the days of Abraham, Moses, David, there was no WhatsApp, Internet, Facebook. How or what did they do in order to disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah from country to country? They didn't disseminate it from country to country. All in all, the place where Babylon was between the two rivers, it was a pretty small place. And maybe up to 3 million people lived in this small place, no more. And the thing is that the wisdom of Kabbalah was revealed to their leaders, Abraham and Terach. Terach was anti-Kabbalah, and Abraham was in favor of Kabbalah, meaning these are scrutinies among the people that educated the people back then that were the priests of the nation. And therefore, it was relatively easy for Abraham to disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah to the Babylonians. On the one hand, Babylon plunged into a big crisis of hatred, competition, inner wars among everyone. And on the other hand, Abraham, as the Babylonian priest, as someone that everyone accepted, he cried out to everyone that it's because of the ego and that we have to rise above our nature, above our ego. It's only now erupting. What are you fighting each other for? It's like with children. You have cute children. Suppose everything was fine, they were playing around, playing some game, and suddenly they start fighting. So what do you tell them? calm down, stop, go back to playing nicely like before. So Abraham, he caught them exactly then. And he told them, it's forbidden for you to keep fighting. You have to go back to living a good life, and I'll show you how. All of it is just your ego, the anger, this hate. It grew only now. We can go back to being friends. All in all, we're part of the same nation. And then part of the Babylonians listened to him, and part of them didn't. It's really like with children in a family. It was like that. These people that Abraham gathered, collected, that later became Jews, that were later called Jews, are the people that study Kabbalah in Africa today, are they related to them? No, it has nothing to do with genes, has nothing to do with DNA. It's related to spirituality. We see many Jews that reject the wisdom of Kabbalah and hate it, and it means nothing for them. And there are many Africans that feel that it's very close to them. It's something spiritual. It has nothing to do with the corporeal world. But at first, the wisdom of Kabbalah was among Jews. It was among all the Babylonians that part of them accepted this method, and some of them didn't. How could it be that today someone who lives thousands of kilometers from there are suddenly attracted to the wisdom of Kabbalah? Spirituality, this is how it spreads. The spiritual force exists beneath this entire world, and it influences everyone, so to speak, beneath the surface. There are those that it does influence them, and there are those that it doesn't. Those that have already developed, they feel that it influences them, and they have some kind of relation to it. How did Kabbalists cure themselves when there were no hospitals and so on? Did they have different methods of how to heal themselves? We don't really know about these things. Sure, they knew how to use different plants more than others, like the Rambam, for example, who wrote a lot about it. Among them, there were doctors. But back then, doctors, they used natural remedies, especially plants, herbs. No. They didn't treat themselves in a special way. I don't think that medicine among the Jews was more developed than medicine among the Chinese people. I don't think so. And in general, I don't think that Jews are smarter than other nations. The special thing about them is the wisdom of Kabbalah itself. But in terms of other wisdoms, including medicine, they weren't special in any way. Who are these Jews? What is a Jew? A Jew is someone who wants to unite with the Creator, to be in contact with the Creator, that studies how can he reach connection with the Creator. He's called a Yehudi, a Jew, from the word Yichud, connection. And this could be any person in the world, regardless of sex or race. Meaning, it's not necessarily that my mother has to be Jewish. No, no, no. Anyone can be Jewish. Anyone. You can't be French. But you can be a Jew. Because it's not an ordinary nationality. It is an attitude toward an ideology. But when I talk to people, they tell me that there is something special about Jews. They say that they're not like everyone. What is that thing? What's special about them? The special thing about them, and we're talking about Jews that this already exists in them, because they were once on a spiritual degree in contact with the Creator, therefore the spiritual gene remained in them and they can go back to it once again. But what does the spiritual gene mean? That they can connect between them and achieve spirituality. And therefore, this is something that they must do and also have to help the rest of the world get there too, whoever wants to. There's a problem that in Africa people don't know how to read. 60% of the population are illiterate. How, or what can we do in order to disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah to these people? I don't know. I was never, ever to Africa. And I can't say what means can we use, whether it's newspapers or books or internet or television, I don't know. You have to think about each and every area per se, what's the best way for us to disseminate our message there. But the basket of messages in its different forms, like short films, books, newspapers, audio, we have to prepare all of this in English and in French and in Portuguese, and for our friends to take it and disseminate it in all possible ways. I understand. A question that people have is, why does the Torah speak only about the Old Testament and not about the New One? It has nothing to do with the New Testament. The New Testament was written by people after the destruction of the temple. Back then, many groups were assembled after the shattering, because once in the past they were connected and then they broke apart. And as a result of this shattering, so to speak, many groups were created and each group wrote something of its own. One of these groups started writing the New Testament. And also, this is something that took many years. It's a process. They were also Jews in their past. And this is what happened. It was all as a result of falling from the spiritual degree. Then they started thinking, how can we do things anew? And gradually, this is how it unfolded. I don't exactly know, because I only study the wisdom of Kabbalah. I'm not even related to the Jewish religion, all the more to other religions. I was never engaged in comparing religions and different beliefs. It never interested me. I never felt any inclination toward it. Because in my eyes, it all belongs to the earthly corporeal level of what happens here on earth. I don't believe in anything. A Kabbalist, he doesn't believe. He knows. He investigates nature in order to know. He's like a scientist. And in this respect, I'm no different than a physicist that reveals reality. And what I can't reveal, for me, it doesn't exist. You can tell me about things, whatever you want. I accept only those things that I attain. A judge has only what his eyes see. It is a law in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Why are there so few Kabbalists in the world? Because for this you need a special kind of development. A person has to want to know, to acknowledge the upper nature, and to be able to change himself in order to acknowledge the upper nature, and to be willing to do anything in order to research that upper nature on his own flesh, on himself. It's not simple. It's unpleasant, but this is what he has to do in order to become a Kabbalist. One more question I got from the WhatsApp group. There are people that are more active and people that are kind of passive. And people in the group, they don't know what to do about it. To leave them in the group, even though that they're passive, or take them out of the group. What do Kabbalists say about these things? Kabbalists say that unless a person does harm, you have to leave him, allow him to stay, and allow everyone to grow according to their own pace. Maybe he'll sit passively for 10 years and just listen and won't say a word. He's not standing in the way. He's not a disturbance. Interesting. So, we leave even the passive people and it doesn't harm. Okay. A general question. Why are Africans drawn to polygamy? Polygamy was something widespread in the ancient world, and I don't think that it's bad that a man has many women, because especially it depends on what kind of culture do they live in, where to keep the house, to take care of the children, prepare food, to sustain a household, it's very hard for one woman to do. And therefore, polygamy, it was everywhere. Among Europeans, not that much. King Solomon had many women. Yeah. Why did it disappear? Why did polygamy disappear from among the people of Israel? We see that kings had many women, and today they don't. Not only kings. When Yemenian Jews immigrated to Israel, they also had several women, each of them. And here in Israel, we followed the European culture, and this is why it disappeared. But actually, according to the Torah, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, a man can live with several women as long as he can support them, sustain them, and satisfy them. What is a prayer? A prayer is the revelation of the deficiency for the attainment of the Creator. What is the prayer that we should pray together? Together it means that all of us are willing to connect, to unite, in order to rise above the individual ego of each and every one of us, in order to show the Creator that we want Him, and this is what we unite for. For this we're willing to concede our ego, just as long as we're closer to Him. We have 1 minute left. I'd like to say that people are really enjoying reading our materials and the lessons and everything. What kind of advice can you give people that started building a group, that started listening to the lessons, sometimes They're in uplifted spirits. Sometimes they're not. They're starting to go through different states. We're trying to accompany them, but what advice can you give them? Simple advice. Our lessons are for very advanced people. The group that I'm teaching exists for almost 25 years, and it's impossible to give the lessons that we're studying today to beginners. So what I'm asking is that all those that are working with the new audiences, they have to take from the archive lessons for beginners and to show them that, to advance them gradually. You can advance people in a year or two to our level, but not to start with what we're studying today, but with what we used to learn in the past. You have to sit together and choose, build a plan that will be good and ready for new audiences, including Africa and Asia and every other place in the world. And besides, I'd like to wish them all the best, our friends, our students. And I really hope that we'll meet and continue and discover the upper force, the next world, all of us together, united in one hug, together. All the best.